Yes, glory, yes, glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. My, what a privilege it is to be in the house of God. I believe that something, I've been singing that today. I just feel like something good's about to happen. You may be seated. God's already moving. He's already manifested. We hear that word manifest. We hear the slogan we said all the time, God's moving. Well, can you understand or can you figure out how an omnipresent God can move from point A to point B? If you want Him to move from point A to point B, it ain't Him that's got to move. Because by the time He gets ready, if He could move from point A to point B, He's already at point B before He ever leaves point A. Because He's omnipresent. The devil is not omnipresent. But your God, Jesus Christ, is. That means if the devil's on someone else's back, then you've got a right and an opportunity to love God because he can't be on yours. But it doesn't matter where that devil is, you can put Jesus on his back and manifest. The word manifest in the Greek literally means to reveal, make known, show, and display. So when someone lifts your hands and you just start loving God, and that Holy Ghost starts speaking through you in an unknown tongue, guess what? You can point and say, there's God. When someone's displaying faith, you can say, there's God. If you want evidence of where God dwells, He dwells, He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. It is good to see everyone here. My friend, Brother Mickey Wester, good to see him. Went to Bible college together. We tormented them and they tormented us. I'm not going to say too much because your pastor was my teacher, one of my teachers. And he don't know it, but him and Brother Shrekice and Brother Wayne McLean, I have to say especially Brother McLean, when we got ready to go to their classes, we had our heads down. We said, well, it's time to go to their classes, find out how backslid we really are. But them men opened them notebooks and their curriculum, and they didn't deliver us curriculum. They delivered to us their experience. They delivered to us their heart. And I do want to say this, and I everywhere I go, if Brother Grissom comes up, you've got an awesome family with Brother Grissom and his wife and daughter. You are blessed. You are so blessed. He has experienced the hand of God move in different countries. He's experienced Him move in mighty ways. In fact, me and a member of your church was talking about that earlier today. And I told him, I said, you want to hear about some devils being cast out and all sorts of things like that? I said, why don't you talk to your pastor? I'm sure he's seen them. And we don't see that as much in the United States as they do in other countries. And I kind of wonder if it's because we get comfortable with ours. And I call them pig farmers, spiritual pig farmers. But even a pig will drown himself, because he's got sense to know that a devil ain't good to have. Ain't good to have in you and ain't good to have on you. But a pig can't worship, but we can. Pig can drown the devil, we can run him off and torment him a little bit. Brother T.W. Barnes, I heard him say one time, Brother Grissom, they asked him, they said, Brother Barnes said, when you go to a hotel room and all, no telling what activities took place in that room, Do you immediately get on your knees and just cast them devils and spirits out of that room? Old Brother Barnes said, no. I just let them stay there and get nervous. And that's what I believe. That devil wants to hang around me. I ain't going to let him hang around me comfortably. Amen. Amen. Good to see everyone here. I met this gentleman today, Lee. I met him today. My children went to the birthday party. Yeah, wave. I love you. And my kids loved it. They went out in the woods. They saw hog tracks, deer tracks, all sorts of tracks, dogs, cats. I asked my children, I said, what do you do if one of them old rooters got after you? Climb a tree. That's my boy. But don't be like your uncle, Keevy. That was a big hog got after them. He shot at it and he missed it and it come out of that brush. And my daddy was already way up in a tree before they ever went in after that hog. And daddy said my brother reached and grabbed the limb and it was too weak and he pulled it up and it just cracked. And he was standing in that hog run right by. So don't be like my brother. Find you a strong limb, son. Strong limb. But I'm under obligation tonight. As Mr. Lee said that he was coming. Caitlin talked to him, invited all of them. And she's supposed to sing tonight for him. And I do appreciate all you here tonight. I'm looking for God. And I feel a ministry tonight. And I'm looking for God to do a mighty work today. He's here. Jesus is here. And I'm believing. The only thing he's waiting on is. Amen. Amen. I want my wife to come and sing, and I think Caitlin's going to sing. And I've been truly blessed with my wife. She is phenomenally used of God. She better be, because she's had to deal with me. And she keeps me straight. I came off a job last year and I wasn't home a week, and I think she done sent out my resume to more people. I think she even sent it out to Burger King trying to get me out of that house. Burger King and somewhere in Arizona. I mean, I don't know. She didn't want me local. She wanted me gone. But anyway, no, I love my wife, my daughter, and my son. My son loves the Word of God, takes his Bible to school. Loves the Scripture. My daughter loves the Lord. They're both filled with the Holy Ghost. I got to baptize them in Jesus' name. Started to hold you under just a little while longer. But the song you heard last night, my wife don't like me talking about her, but she wrote that. And I asked her to sing one tonight that she wrote. But whatever the Holy Ghost leads, I want them to do. Y'all worship with them as they sing.
Well, some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a home where God will ever show. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away.
for the record, I know she didn't write that one.
Amen, amen. Worship with my wife.
My daughter came up to me one time. She said, "Mom, Brother so-and-so said I sing better than you." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because I don't sing in that key no more. And pray for me because sometimes, even though I write it, I forget the words. And I'm not really for sure about the second verse, but God knows it. So we'll get there in Jesus' name. I have a place in my hometown where when I really need silence and peace and proof of God, which is the birds and the water and the trees and the flowers, that I go. And one particular occasion, I was having a really bad day. And sometimes that happens, even when all you've ever known is the Lord. And sometimes even more so because you think, well, why am I having such a bad day? You know, I got Jesus. but still, it can be bad. And I ran away from home and went to my quiet place. And it was so very still. And it's a creek that runs for quite a lot of miles. And it didn't even seem like the creek was even moving. It was just so quiet and so still. And I'm, of course, sitting there bawling my eyes out saying, God, I just need something. And there was no birds and there was no leaves moving and didn't even seem like the flowers were wanting to grow. And I couldn't get as close to the spot where I normally got because it hadn't been taken care of and the weeds had overgrown. And it was a waterfall, and you couldn't even hear the waterfall anymore. And I was just almost distraught. And I said, God, I really, really could use your arms wrapping around me right now. And all of a sudden, a breeze blew to where I was. And I looked to see if anything was moving, and nothing around me was moving. But I felt a breeze. And it's just like it just swirled around me. And these words set in my mind. And I was like, well, of course. The one time that I don't have pen and paper right there with me. And so I got up out of my quiet spot where God had just wrapped me in his arms. And I ran up to my truck and I found a receipt in my purse, in my truck like I normally do. And I wrote this down. And I hope that you can hear and understand that all it takes is to cry out to him in your desperation, in your trouble, in your need. All you have to do is just say, Jesus, I need you here with me. And he'll show up. When I don't know right, everything I do is wrong. When the spirit inside is weak, and the flesh is waxing strong, that's when I call to you in desperation, hear my humble plea. Jesus, I am nothing at all, but I need you here with me. Won't you wrap me in your arms? broken heart. I will give you everything. I won't keep any part of me from you. You can bear the pain. I need your love today. Wrap me in your arms, dear Lord. Heal this heart, I pray. When the world outside is crazy, the heart inside would fail. When the ship is battered and the storm has torn the sail, that's when the master of the wind and rain can step into your life. Cry out to him from deep within, and he will heal the strife. Won't you wrap them in your arms? Heal their broken heart. When they give you everything, and don't keep any part from you, you can bear the pain. They need your love today. So wrap them in your arms, dear Lord. Heal their heart, I pray. When the world outside is crazy, the heart inside would fail. When the ship is battered and the storm has torn the sail, that's when the master of the wind and rain can step into your life. Cry out to him from deep within, and he will heal the strife. Won't you wrap me in your arms? Heal this broken heart. I will give you everything. I won't keep any part of me from you. You can bear the pain. I need your love today. So wrap me in your arms, dear Lord. Heal this heart, I pray. Won't you wrap me in your arms? Heal this broken heart. I will give you everything. I won't keep any part of me from you. You can bear the pain. I need your love today. So wrap me in your arms, dear Lord.
Let's stand. Let's stand, lift your hands to God. Close your eyes.
Wrap me in your arms.
I need you tonight.
Heal this broken heart.
I need you tonight.
I will give you everything. I won't keep any part of me from me. You can bear the pain. I need your love today. So wrap me in your arms, dear Lord. Heal this heart, I pray. Can't bear the pain. Need your love today. Wrap me in your arms, dear Lord. Heal this heart, I pray.
Hallelujah. Can we love him? Lord, I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much, God.
Here I am.
Lord, everything I have, I offer up to you. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that your power would fall in this house to an available vessel, Lord, a vessel that's made themselves available. God, pour out your anointing upon the minds. Pour out your anointing upon our hearts.
Here I am.
Holy Ghost. God will give you His Spirit to whomsoever will. You need your mind delivered. You need a loved one touched. You need a load taken off of you. Give God the glory. Give Him praise. Here it is, Lord. I can't bear it. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The book of John, chapter 11. I'll try not to be long tonight. I believe God's wanting to do a quick work. And most of the time when I preach revivals, I'm just wide open. Tonight I don't feel to be really, I'll get probably crazy. But I believe the Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of the living God is here. And He's wanting to minister to some people. Book of John, chapter 11. So again, I honor your pastor, family, and you, church, for allowing us to be here. Your courtesy. Them deer brats I ate today were something else. They were good. I didn't even share them with you, did I? John, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We find where two ladies sent a request to the Lord to heal their brother. And I want to talk to us tonight because this wasn't an ordinary sickness. This was a bad one. In fact, they knew that if Lazarus wasn't healed, he'd die. And I want to preach to us tonight that there is a God at your wit's end. There is a God that dwells at wit's end. Pastor, would you lead us tonight in prayer?
God. Thank you.
God say amen. You may be seated. Look at the person next to you and say, God dwells at your wit's end. I've been there. We've all been there. Some are there tonight. A place called wit's end. A place where you've done everything you can do and you can't do no more. You have no answers. Doctors can't help. Psychologists can't help. Medicines can't help. Just seems like nothing in the world can seem to get you or us over that special hump of problems and things, cares of this world. And these ladies in this story, there is a phenomenal lesson that we can learn about how God hears and what we can do to hinder Him answering our prayer and what we can do to help Him answer our prayer. Now, we know that the biggest thing on answering prayer is God. Your pastor said it, that He sometimes has to do everything because we get to a place where we can do nothing. And that is called wit's end. I can remember as a young child, I came to my wit's end. I can remember as a teenager coming to my wit's end. I can remember as I got into the church and got filled with the Holy Ghost, still coming to wit's end. I can remember even after call to the ministry and preaching and traveling, I still find that place called wit's end. I find it with people. I find it with myself. I found it with my wife. She's found it with me. My children has already found it probably with us. But I want you to know something. We know a God that lives where wit's end dwells, and there's always an answer to be found. There's always an answer. Here comes Lazarus or Mary and Martha, and they send word to Jesus saying that their brother's sick, and if you don't do something, God, if you don't do something, Lord, he is going to die, is what is in their request. He's sick, and we can't do anything about it. So they call on the Lord. They send a word to him, which we call prayer. And Jesus has a little trouble answering the prayer. I'm going to talk to us just a little bit. This probably won't sound like good revival apostolic evangelistic preaching, but I just want to talk to us a little bit. He gets to a place where when we read this story, we find that Jesus is ready to move. The answer is ready to move and go to where the need is at. But he can't get there until he gets his disciples' faith right. Until he can get their attitude right that Jesus is never with hope. And anybody with him is never without hope. Because the disciples questioned Jesus. Because Jesus told him he's sick and he's asleep. And the disciples said, well, if he sleeps, leave him alone. Somewhere they thought they knew more than the master. But Jesus had to turn and talk to them and tell them, now look, we're going to go over there and God's going to get some glory. The Spirit is going to get some glory out of Lazarus' problem. Your problem in your life tonight is not that you be down and not that you be backslid and not that you be oppressed, but your problem that you brought to this house tonight with you is that God can get some glory. Well, I got about a half a amen out of that. I'm telling you, the devil is not going to come to you without God's permission. And God's not going to ask of you to do something you're not able to do. Nor is he going to ask you to produce something that you don't have. And he's not going to let the devil come to you or any of his adversary imps to bring something on you to destroy you. But it's that he believes that you're going to have faith in God and stand firm in his word and not let the thing get you down, but let God get lifted up and the devil can be defeated again. And God's ready to get glory out of your problem. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Church, you can have the revival God's promised you, but you can't hinder him with doubt. You can't be saved without hope. You can't go to heaven without the Holy Ghost. Trying to get to heaven without the Holy Ghost is trying to get a plane off the ground without fuel. Well, I thought I was in an apostolic church. I feel something hard right now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get on in, but I got to. Because Mary and Martha was at a place called Wit's End. They were at a place where they can't do anything else. They were at a place where they were embattled and they were battered and their faith was torn and their faith was scorned and their faith seemed like it couldn't get off the ground. I'm sure they tried anointing. I'm sure they tried praying. I'm sure they tried to do everything they could for Lazarus, but somewhere it just couldn't work. And they had to call on the Master. And Jesus decided to answer their request. That's what it is in the sense, just as it's symbolic of them sending word to Jesus, I need your help, and Jesus ready to move. That's the answer coming your way. But the disciples had problems believing that Jesus was going to heal this man, especially after the Lord told him he was dead. Woo! Death ain't the end. It ain't the end of life. It ain't the end of our being. We're going to live forever somewhere. We're not going to poof, burn up like a Jehovah Witness says. If that's the truth, then let me live like the devil. Let me live in hell. And let me live and exalt hell. And who cares if I'm going to just poof and be gone? No punishment, no nothing. But I got news for you. I had a dream not long ago that really rattled me and woke me up. And it was I left this earth and I was traveling and I saw this little light. And the closer I got, the brighter it was. And the brighter it was. And Brother Grissom, I got so close to it at one time that the beams of light coming out of it were roadways into it. And just as I got close to it, I started downward. And I came to a place that was molten hot red. And I saw skeletal beings walking around with flesh hanging off their bones, and all of a sudden like a tsunami of lightning and fire would roll over them and it'd roll away and they were ashes, and boom, they would come back and burn down, and boom, and burn down, steadily tormented in the flame. I've got news for you. There is a long eternal life, but we have a choice tonight where we're going to go. And if we want to go to heaven, we got to get our faith right. We can't let the devil on this earth bind our eternal reward. We've got to get something up inside of us that says going to heaven means more than what I'm going through on earth. God is faithful and he's just and he's fair and he's willing to save you. I feel the root pulling up a little bit. Your revival, church, I'm talking to the church body right now. Your revival and your promises and your prayers is hanging right on your faith. It's either going to be hindered or it's going to be exalted. It's either going to be hindered or it's going to be accelerated by how you act in your adversity. Jesus says, it's time to go, boys. Get up. If you want to see a miracle, follow me. Stay with me. Follow me. In fact, he asked them one day, he said, well, will you also go away? They said, where could we go? That's the torment of a backslider. They say, and we got this, and I preached it before, and the Lord just kind of got a hold of me, and so did, I hope you don't like him, I do, so did Brother Jeff Arnold. He said, I'm going to kill a holy cow. You can't run away from God. Because he's omnipresent, and everywhere you can go, he's already there. That's the torment of a backslider. You're never running away from his mercy, you're running to his mercy. And you get tormented in your mind, and you get battled in your mind because you really don't want it. You want a release from God. Honey, you can't get released from someone who's everywhere. You can't hide from God. No matter what rock you get behind, God's already there. He created that rock. And he's protecting you from every devil in hell trying to destroy you before you get another opportunity to find the power of God's mercy. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh. Uh-huh. Jesus is walking and the answer's on the way. He says, you know something, guys? Just follow me. You may not understand that, but just follow me. And the guys get up and follow me. And Jesus gets close to the town. He gets close to the city. And Martha runs and meets him. Brother Grissom, get 11 in verse 30. I'm going to want you to read that in a minute. Not right now, but in a minute. And Jesus is moving, and Lazarus is dead. In fact, they've done prepared his body, and they've got it buried. It's just like the adversary to tell you to quit hoping in what I've done buried. But they're not knowing the God of resurrection. Amen. They're not knowing the God that can move a rock. They don't know the God that says, when you destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it in 3 days. They don't know the God that's on the way, the God that spoke and everything was in existence, the God whose word is so powerful. And I might preach one day, God is the man of his word. But Jesus is on the way, and here comes old Martha. Same Martha that was encumbered. The same Martha had problems believing. And Martha said, had you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And you know, I find something interesting, Brother Wester. Mary said the same thing. But there was two different attitudes in the way it was approached and the way that Jesus was approached. Because Jesus got hung up with Martha. He got hung up with her trying to explain, well, Martha, your brother is going to live. I know he will in the resurrection. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? I believe you're the Son of God. That ain't what I asked you. Do you believe that your brother's going to be resurrected? I didn't ask you if you can tell who I am. I want to know, do you believe I've got the power to resurrect what the world's buried? God, mercy. And I'm telling you, under the anointing and the power of God, just because your circumstance seems buried, it ain't hopeless, because the resurrector's in the house. Woo!
Amen. That little fit.
Come on now. But just because you're at wit's end don't mean you're at death's door. You may be in here and you don't have the Holy Ghost. But honey, that don't mean you have to go to hell. You can get it tonight. You may be in here and you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But we've got water in the tank. What doth hinder thee? Well, I go to this church and I'm this church. Fully on denomination. It ain't UPC, Baptist, it ain't none of that going to make heaven. What matters is not the name on your door. What matters is the name of your God. because it's the name of Jesus. Every devil bows. It's at the name of Jesus that things are that are messed up are made right. It's at the name of Jesus that sins are washed away. It's at the name of Jesus. The devil says, and his plan is, if I can just get them to give up, not that he's coming, but to give up that when he gets there, it's too late. An old Hebrew sage folklore, folktale story, parable, said there was three demons talking about how we're going to destroy the world. One demon said, I know what we'll do. We'll go up there and we'll tell them there's no hell. And the other two said, we can't do that because they've got enough Bible to spread out there to teach them that there's a real hell. The other said, I know what we'll do. We'll go up there and we'll tell them that there's no heaven. The other two said, we can't do that. I mean, if they got enough to tell them that there's a heaven, surely there's enough there to tell them it's a hell. So if there's enough there for both of them, then we can't defeat that. They thought, and then the third one said, I've got it. We won't tell them there's no heaven. And we won't tell them there's no hell. We'll just tell them there's no hurry. Maybe another day you can pray. Maybe another day you can get baptized. But just don't rush it. Lift your hands right now. Let's talk to the Lord. God, come against the spirit of procrastination. Lord, everyone in this building, I know, has a deep love for you. If they did not love you and they did not acknowledge you and they did not care about you, God, they would not be here. And Lord, I'm asking you to wrap them in your arms. I'm asking, Lord, that you would anoint their minds and their hearts and their souls and resurrect their faith and let them know that time's running out. The sands of the hourglass are almost gone and your coming is so near. God, in Jesus' name. But anyway, Martha, she stops him. She's questioning. Had you have been here, my brother had not have died. Where have you been? Why are you late? Why didn't you come when we asked you to? And the Bible says that after all the questioning that she went back into the city and she called Mary aside privately and said, the Master calleth for thee. And Mary gets up with a passion and a desire that says, I'm not going to wait for him to get to me, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to run to him. And the passion is so strong that a multitude of people follow him, her. Honey, if you want a mass of people to follow you, you've got to let them know you're excited about your God. But the Bible says something real short. In the midst of Mary leaving for him and finding him, the Bible says in verse 30,
now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place.
Stop. He was in that place where Martha met him. I want to challenge your thinking. How long would it have took Martha to leave Jesus, go back into the town, call Mary aside privately and talk to her. And then Mary leave the house and go running out of the town and find him. How long do you think that might have took? Let's say it's from here to the loop, or from here to the square. For Mary or Martha to get there to here and call me aside and talk to me, and me to get from here to there. And when Mary come to him, he was in the same place where Martha met him. Martha stopped the Lord moving. Jesus took not one more step after Martha left him, because he said, I will not move for that attitude. I will not move for pity. And I will not move for complaining. And I will not move for doubt. And I will not move for unbelief. Boys, pop a squat. I'm done moving. Until Mary comes to where he's at. And the Bible says Mary worshiped him. Mary worshiped him. Said, Master, I can see her at his feet. That same place where she poured out the anointing. She poured out her tears. That same place where she found the favor of the Master. That same place that pride says, don't go. And said, Lord, had you have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus, the Bible says, groaned within him. And he looked down at the worshiper and said, where have you laid? Worshiper got the answer, moving again. Worshiper got the Lord walking again. And the worshiper took him to the graveyard. And the worshiper said, that's where I ask you to work. In that tomb is where my prayer lies. Jesus, do something. And if you don't hear anything else, I'm here to tell you, if you want the Lord to move in your wit's end, He will not move but only for a worshiper. I can almost see, Brother Grissom, Mary. The Bible talks about the Pharaohs and all in their throne room of authority. And the Bible says, or history says, that when the Pharaohs and the kings come into their room, their throne room, and when the doors are open and they walk in, there's girls and they throwing flower petals on the road, on the pathway, because his feet is not worthy to touch dry ground. But it's worthy because these rose petals is my worship. These rose petals, and I want somebody to know right now, your tears has not been in vain, but they are pavement for the Master to walk on. And I could see Mary going to the graveyard, praising God, leading him to the cemetery. I love you, Jesus. And her words and tears hitting the ground like rose petals. God, my Savior, the answer is on the way. My Jesus is here. My God, my Redeemer showed up. Because her worship says, I know you're a little late, but just you being here is enough for me. Jesus sees the words, and he sees the passion, and he sees the petition, and he sees the tears, and he sees the faith. And he says, I can walk that way, boys, because that way is appreciating my presence. And I want someone to know right now, God's not here empty-handed. He's not here with no promises. He's here with the answer to your prayers and your promises. He's here with a hope for your life. He's here with the very need that lies deep within your soul that you're just about ready to give up on. But God is not giving up on you, even though you feel like you're at wit's end. The Lord, merciful God, Jesus Christ, the one that came of virgin birth, the one that is the God Almighty of the Old Testament, revealed in the flesh, is here and he's walking your way, but he says, I can't move to where you want me to go until that attitude changed from I will not move to I will worship. Come on, come on, you're not hearing me. I'm talking to you. The Holy Ghost is talking to you. God spoke to me on that platform and said, you tell them, I dwell at their wits' end. They're not alone in that hopeless situation, but they've got to worship me like they never have. And I will do what they need done. I will save them. You can't get saved without worshiping God. Repentance is worship unto God. You need to worship. The first thing you need to do is repent. God, if I've had a wrong attitude, I'm sorry. God, if I've messed up or if I've done something, let's all stand. Come on. God, if I've done something that's hindered you in my life, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God, I don't want to lay around in it. God, I need you to move for me. God, I need your presence. Take someone by the hand right now. Come on, I'm asking you right now. I'm not going to give you a prayer of repentance because my prayer cannot cover what you need to repent of. But it can cover me. Lift that hand high. Let's start with repentance. God, I need you to forgive me. God, I want you to walk through my heart, walk through my soul, walk through my thoughts, walk through my passions, walk through my motives, walk through my thoughts. God, if there be anything in there done knowingly or unknowingly, Jesus, forgive me. I'm not just apologizing for what I've done, God, but I'm making a commitment that I'm going to turn from that lifestyle. Repentance isn't an apology. It's a commitment. God, I need you in my life. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're here and you've never had the Holy Ghost or if you've had it for 70, 80 years. We all need to come to repentance. Because what the world has told you, it's buried. God is telling you, I'm here to resurrect. Your promises and your unanswered prayers, I'm here to breathe life into them things. Not the sin, not the addictions, but the promises that he's given you. Somewhere in this house tonight, Brother Grissom, there's a tomb. And when Lord Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, now you move away the stone. And you take away those grave clothes. In other words, I can forgive you. The Bible says if we'll repent, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. Repentance is what we've got to do. It's what we've got to do. It's the death part. It's the first step of obeying the gospel. The Bible says that them whose name's not found written in the Lamb's book of life that's cast in the lake of fire are them who obeyed not the gospel. And the first step, the gospel is the good news. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection. The first step is you've got to repent. There is a city whose builder and maker is God. And He's gone to prepare a place just for you, sir. Just for you, ma'am. But the roadway is paved with repentance. Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, maybe you've been baptized, but if not in the name of Jesus Christ, my friends, the Bible says, Peter said he gave the very first altar call in the book of Acts after the resurrection of Christ. When they asked him, what shall we do? He said, you repent and you be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God, our God, shall call. You're not being called by man tonight. You're being called by God. And He says, if you'll move, and if you'll just praise me in your circumstance, I'll deliver you from it. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name so your sins will be forgiven and washed away. And worship me and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, Jesus said. I wonder, could we all gather at the front? If you're in here and you do not have the Holy Ghost, come on. Come on. People gather around. Come on, church, let's gather around. If you're here and you're battling, and maybe you're sitting on the end of your road, you're at a place called Wits End.
I feel Jesus.
Come to a place tonight and repent.